Good morning.
Good morning.
One of my favorite characters in the Bible is Jacob. And maybe about 15 or 17 years ago, God impressed some things on it, about his life on me, and it kind of made me look at things a lot differently and had a big impact. And so I wanted to share one event in his life, but kind of give you a little bit of a background. When Isaac and Rebecca got married, she was pregnant with twins in her womb, and they struggled within her, it says. And God promised that the elder would serve the younger. In other words, the younger one would have the blessings, the spiritual blessings of the family. And when the twins were born, Esau came out, and Jacob's hand was clutching his heel, and that's why he got the name Jacob, which means supplanter, heel catcher. And some people also define it as deceiver. And so God promised Jacob that he would have the blessing. As the years went on, it says Esau, basically, he was a profane man. He was a hunter, but all he cared about were the things of the world. He was his father's favorite, but Jacob was his mother's favorite. And it says he was a plain man. And basically the idea there is he was a pious man. He was a religious man. He cared about the things of God and the promises of God. One day Esau came home from hunting. He didn't catch anything. He was starving. Jacob's cooking some porridge. And he's like, give me some of that. And he's like, Jacob's like, well, give me your birthright, your blessing. And he's like, I don't care about that. All I care about is my hunger. Give me that. And it says in the New Testament that Esau despised his birthright. And so Jacob got the birthright. He got basically the rights to be the priest of the family, have the firstborn rights. And a little bit more time went on, and then Rebecca's like, well, why don't you go see if you can get the blessing from your father, and put on some hairy garments, make him think, because Isaac was losing his sight, make him think that you're his brother, and get the blessings. And they tricked the father. Esau came back, and he vowed basically to kill his brother. Jacob flees. He's gone for 20 years. He goes to his uncle Laban's house, and on his way there, God stops him, and he has a dream. God speaks to him, and God promises, basically, I'll be your God, and I'll bring you home safely. And I wasn't planning on sharing this verse this morning, but because it just fit the hymn so well, that I thought I might as well cover it as well. And God says, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. In the first service, we were singing the hymn about God will never leave us nor forsake us. And this is the first time, as far as I'm aware of, where that promise is stated in the Bible. You know, I'm not going to leave you until I've done everything that I want to do in your life. In other words, he's never going to leave us alone. And Jacob vowed a vow that, you know, basically, okay, if you bring me back home safely, you'll be my God. And so he's thinking, okay, I've got the promises of God. God's going to bring me home again in peace someday down the road. And but as the years went on, he's working for his uncle Laban, 20 years. And he ends up marrying two of Laban's daughters and working, getting a lot of cattle out there. But all those years he learned from Laban basically to deceive, to trick, to manipulate, to scheme, get what he wanted out of life. And eventually it came time where God says, okay, time to come back to the promised land, to the land that I promised you. And so he's going, and then he hears news. Your brother Esau is on his way with 400 armed men. It's like, okay, last he left 20 years before, his brother vowed to kill him. So he's sitting there and he's kind of struggling. He doesn't know what to do. And so he sends the servant and says, okay, tell him that I'm his servant. Here, give him all these gifts. Divides up his cattle, like hundreds of cattle, like 100 of this, 200 of that, 40 of this, 40 of that, like all these different things. Send him to Esau as an offering. And then he divided his family into a couple different parts. Okay, I'm going to put Rachel with her kids over here, and then I'm going to put Leah and her kids over here and send them ahead of me. And then that way, if he comes and fights us, he won't destroy all my family all at once. And then this is the part of the story that I love. Genesis 32, and it says, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And there's a couple of things significant about that. One is when God wants to do something in our lives, often he has to bring us alone, take us apart from the world, bring us where it's just dealing with us and him. And it says, there wrestled the man with him until the breaking of the day. And I'm just going to emphasize the phrase, the breaking of the day, until the morning breaks, because I'm going to just a couple other passages after. But, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So basically what's happening is all these years of Jacob scheming, you know, manipulating people like his uncle taught him, and so now he's comes to God face to face. He's tried wrestling with Esau, basically manipulating everything to get what he wanted. And then here he's with God. And he's like, well, I can do the same thing with God. I can wrestle with God based on my own strength. And then God's like, touches him in the hollow of his thigh, shrinks his sinew. Suddenly he's got no physical strength left. And then it says, and he said, let me go. God was saying, let me go for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Like all these years he was manipulating to try to get the blessing, which God already promised him. But he was kind of running ahead of God. But now he says, okay, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. So Jacob's like, okay, what's your name? But as the context goes, he knew who he was wrestling with. And wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, which means, for I have seen God face to face. Jacob knew he was wrestling with God all night. He wrestled with him until the breaking of the day, till the daylight. It's kind of interesting. When you look back, the rest of the book Genesis, every time that he's struggling with doubts, the Bible refers to him as Jacob. But when he gets the victory, when he keeps his eyes on God, it calls him Israel. And I challenge you, look through the rest of Genesis, and it's interesting every time. And you go to Hebrews, and it says, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. There were other people in Hebrews 11, that were older. Why is it mentioned specifically, him leaning on a staff? It's because what God did in his life all those years before still affected him. It transformed his life forever. And sometimes that's how it should be when we walk with God. And when you go to Song of Songs, it talks about till the daybreak a couple of times. The first one says, until the daybreak and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. And Bether means division. So basically, it's a prayer to God saying, Lord, until the daybreak, until the day you take me home, be like a deer, a hind, leaping over the mountains to any difficulty, any divisions between me and you. Come to me, Lord. Help me walk with you. Strengthen me. And it's interesting, in verse 4, verse 6, it says, until the daybreak and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. So this is the beloved talking. This is the shepherd, the savior. And he's saying, this is written about 3000 BC. And he says, until the daybreak, until the day when everything's over and I take you home, I got some things I want to do. One is I'm going to go to the mountain of myrrh. And all the way through scriptures, myrrh is a symbol of death. When Jesus was born, he was presented gold, frankincense, and myrrh, symbolizing his sacrifice. So he's saying, I got to go to Calvary. I got some work to do. But then he says, I also going to the hill of frankincense, which in the Bible, frankincense, incense, is always a picture of prayer. And that's what he's doing right here, right now. He's our high priest, offering us prayer, offering prayer to the Father for us day by day. And until the daybreak, until the day he takes us home. And the Song of Solomon, said the end of it, the last verse says, make haste, my beloved, and be thou like to a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of spices. It ends with the believer looking forward to the return of her shepherd, saying, you know, come back to me. And that's how the whole book of the Bible ends. He which testifies these things, saying, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. All the way through our lives until the daybreak, till the shadows flee away, God's working in us. He's wrestling with us. And I like the picture because it isn't just us wrestling with ourselves, which we do, us wrestling with this world, but it's us wrestling with God And Jacob, he wouldn't let God go. But the thing is, God didn't let him go either until God finished the work. And so the poem that I wrote is called Wrestling Until the Break of Day. Put yourself in the position of Jacob here and think about your life and what God wants to do in your life. Alone with God, salvation story, wrestling until the break of day. This is worth the greatest glory, to cling to Jesus, come what may. Wrestling, praying, holding on so tight, like a prince, I won't let him go. Transformed by grace throughout the night, oh, how much he must love me so. Running from fear and troubling trials, faltering, afraid, stopped in my tracks. From worry to peace, yet all the while, knowing inside there's no turning back. Wrestling until the darkness shatters, a part of me won't give up this fight. But it's not my hold on God that matters. He is wrestling with my soul tonight. Struggling, pleading in desperation until my strength is taken away. Wondering at my situation, believing he's the victor this day. Within my own heart, there is a peace. He will not leave his work undone. Transforming my life piece by piece until the rising of the sun. Wrestling in faith like Jacob of old until his life was rearranged. Now touched by God, lo and behold, I find myself forever changed. When trouble comes to darken our trail, though it seems we can't find our way, our Savior's love will never fail. Wrestling until the break of day. Thank you. Amen.